Thankful for this time you've given us to assemble for worship service and for every opportunity that we have to serve thee. May thy blessings, Father, be upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Number 6 in this black book, or it's also 266 in the blue book. I'm going to use some bigger books with like bigger letters than I'm putting on top of them. Not a step will I take without Jesus. It's a vow that my heart has made. Though I often attempt it to please him, yet unto his power is stayed. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take without Jesus, as I travel about thy way. Though temptations may be all around me, I will follow my Lord each day. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take without Jesus, where he leads I can never stray. From a path that will lead me to glory, to that land of eternal day. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there. Not a step will I take, not a step without him will I go. He will lead me along to that beautiful home over there.
For opening prayer, number 500.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a message on earth. Hope with a gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow. Shower is one with hurry home. Oh, how well comes thy home. Peace in my heart, in its sorrow will rejoice. In the dust of the twilight, in the region of harm, will not the deepening darkness rise up glimmering star. Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, why should the breaking of day? When
bow with me in prayer. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful this morning, Father, that you've blessed each and every one of us that's here, Lord, with another day of life and the health and strength and wherewithal in our minds, Father, to rise up out of our beds this morning, Lord, openly assemble, and to be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth this morning upon the first day of the new week as we've been commanded, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful this morning to have this opportunity to worship Thee, Father. And we pray that all of our acts of worship this morning, Father, be conducted decent and in order and would be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee. Our Father, we ask that you continue to bless our congregation here at Cross Street, Father. Bless our elders, our deacon, our preacher, Father, all of our teachers, Father, and all those that work around, Father, to help meet the needs of the building, Father, to help meet the needs of our congregation here at Cross Street, Father. And we pray that we'd all be strengthened through our work, Father, and that we'd be able to help grow our congregation here, Father, help to be a light in the community and a beacon of your love for the world, Father. Our Lord, at this time, we also ask that you bless our country, Father, bless our world. We ask that you might bless the leaders, Father, that we might work for peace in all things, and that ultimately
we might have some love one for another, Father. Our Lord, at this time, Father, we're also mindful of all those who are mentioned as being sick, Father. We ask that whatever their ailment might be, Father, whether it be maybe physical or mental or emotional, Father, or especially spiritual, as we're all ailed from time to time spiritually, Father. But we pray, Lord, that you'd wrap your arms around each and every one of those that was mentioned, Father, around each and every one of those that we have on our sick and prayer list, Father. We pray that you might comfort them, Father, and that if it would be your will, you might grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal portion of health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also mindful and thankful for all of the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. We know that they're too numerous to count or really even contemplate, Father. Everything from the ability to walk to our talents to go out and earn a living, Father. But we know all these things flow from thee, Father. And we pray as we live our lives, Father, we might remember that and be thankful to you for them. And Father, we're especially grateful, Father, for your grace and love. The grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, lived the perfect life that he did, become the example that he did, and ultimately become the perfect sacrifice that he was, Father, the shedding of his blood, the blood that cleanses us from unrighteousness, Father, if we obey thy gospel and remain faithful to it. And Father, we're so thankful for Christ Jesus and what he did for us. And we pray as we go about our lives, Father, the words that we say, the actions that we do, Father, just the general conduct that we exercise in our lives, Father, would always be a reflection of our thankfulness to Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we pray that you'd bless our brother Norman with a good recollection of the things that he's gonna study with us this morning, Father. We pray that we have a receptive heart to the things that we'll study, Father, and that ultimately we can apply into our lives, Father, and become better Christians serving thee. Father, we also pray that as the opportunity be extended this morning, Father, if there be those in our audience this morning, Father, that have never known you, Father, or that need to come back to you, Father, that they might have the courage and the heart to do so while the opportunity be extended to them, Father. And Lord, we just pray as we continue our worship this morning, Father, that you just continue to bless each and every one of us, Father. You continue to guide us, continue to lead us, Father. That you'd forgive us of those sins and shortcomings, Father, those areas that we may have fallen short of, Father, as we repent of those things and we turn away from them and we do our best to not do them anymore, Father. And we pray, Father, that the service continue to be most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, and conducted decent in order, Father. And Lord, we ask these and all things in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sing number 497 before taking on the Lord's Supper. 497.
Like a manger, wherefore me, let me hide.
We gather each first day of the week to partake of the bread representing Christ's flesh and the fruit of the vine which represents his blood that was shed on the cross. We remember this each first day of the week. But when we really remember Christ's death, it's more than just the death on the cross that we remember. The greatest thing that we remember is the fact that he rose on the third day. And by doing so, we have a chance at redemption. And that is what we remember the most. The sting of death was overcome. And we are able to commune with our God each first day of the week as we remember him. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for the gift that he has given us, that we are able to remember him each first day of the week and to be able to do so until we're able to do it with him in heaven on that wonderful great day. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we come to you thanking you for the many blessings that you've given to us. But most of all, Father, we thank you that we're able to commune with you as a family, to be able to remember not only your death, but your resurrection. We thank you that the suffering that you did, you paid the price that we could not pay. We thank you that as you rose to newness of life, you gave us the hope of heaven. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together, gather on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to come together and to share and to partake of this, of the Lord's Supper with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to come together in remembrance, to remember the sacrifice that thy Son Jesus made on our behalf, Heavenly Father, to be able to reflect on the suffering that he endured, Heavenly Father, to know that man did not have the power to take his life, but he gave his life of his own free will, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine that represents his most precious blood, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Has everyone had a chance to partake of the Lord's Supper? If not, please, at this time, raise your hand. I see no hands. We will continue then. We also have the opportunity to give back as we've been blessed. It's not something that you have to do, but we also are commanded from Christ that we try to give back a portion of what He's given to us. It's more than just the giving that we do, but it shows a part of us as in our reflection of our love for Christ and the expansion of His kingdom. We keep the church lights on. We help with benevolence. We use it for evangelism. There are many things that the money is used for. But you see, most of it is because we love our Lord, and we show our love back to Him. Let's thank Him for the blessings that we have now as we bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that we're able to give back to You as You have seen fit to give to us. Lord, we thank You that we have been blessed so well. Our cup indeed overflows, for we are indeed blessed here in America with the wealth that we have. Father, as we give back, we ask that we do it ungrudgingly and with a cheerful heart. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
some encouragement after the lesson this morning will be number 495. 495. And before the lesson in our scripture reading, right across the page, 494. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and took the light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love, and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry. Answer God and mind, filled with a prayerful yearning, heart of the heavenly journey. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes you strive. Sometimes my path seems drear, without a ray of fear, and then the call of God may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise, behind the starry sky, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, answer my and mine. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart into heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning, heart of the heavenly journey. Find a little talk with Jesus, makes it fine.
Good morning, everyone. Denise and I would like to thank everyone who was involved and came and everything else for our wedding. We thank you very, very much for that all. Our scripture lesson today is Numbers 12, 1 and 2 in the King James Version. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it.
Good morning. Surely God has once again been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those here. Those who've called in on our conference call, we welcome you as well. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Wise eternal Heavenly Father, God, we just again thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings and opportunities you've given us to assemble ourselves together on this morning. We just thank you, Lord, for your word, that we just pray that as we're about to embark on your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situations. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we're falling short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Gather in your word the things that I say, Lord. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we want to look again at Numbers chapter 12. In verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And verse 2 is where we take our thought this morning. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Be careful how we criticize, because the Lord can hear. There are two major types of criticism. There is constructive, but then also there is destructive. The main difference between the two is the way in which they are delivered. Constructive criticism is criticism given with a compassionate and helpful attitude. Destructive criticism is given with the intent to harm or insult someone. In this text that we look at this morning, what type of criticism do we see? Do we see positive or do we see negative? Let's look at it again. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. This was negative criticism. Well, what does negative criticism mean? Negative criticism is dwelling on the perceived faults of another with no view to their good. Okay, what does that mean? Well, let's look at this definition just a little closer. First of all, criticism is negative talk about perceived faults. Well, what does that mean? Perceived faults, when you look at this, when I talk about perceived faults, the reason that I speak about perceived faults is because my perception of what is wrong with you may not be accurate. In other words, there may be circumstances that I don't understand, or you may be going through a situation I'm not aware of that is causing you to act a certain way. So in reality, we can become very critical of others and be totally wrong in our opinion simply because we do not have all of the facts. Are y'all with me? Criticism is dwelling, I said, upon perceived faults. Well, let's look at when I talk about dwelling upon. What do I mean? When I talk about dwelling upon, it means that you become preoccupied with the fault to the point that you internalize it. I would not do this. I would not do that. If I were in charge, then things would be different. And so how do you overcome then the critical spirit? How do you look for ways to improve? How do you look for ways to help? It is not criticism if you would do one or two things in this type of situation. Number one, if you pray about it. Secondly, if you pursue a solution. What do you mean? If you observe a brother or sister in Christ struggling in a certain area, and it is not a negative attitude to ask God for guidance for them. Are y'all with me? It's not a negative attitude to ask God to come alongside of them and help them in the areas of their weaknesses. All of us have some weaknesses in our lives. And so we all need somebody to come alongside of us, encourage us, and help us along the way. Because this is a very important point in our definition, because if making a critical comment about someone leaves us guilty of this attitude of criticism, then we might as well surrender to it, because we are all guilty. And so this is why I said it's very important to understand this definition of what I just said. We need to be careful that we do not spend our time dwelling on things we perceive are wrong with somebody else. Because all of us have something wrong with us. Amen? And so criticism is negative talk without offering to help. This is where we find in our lesson this morning. When you go to Numbers chapter 12, what you see in this lesson is that you see Miriam and Aaron, they are criticizing, but they are offering no help. Anybody can criticize. It doesn't take a lot of skill. It doesn't take a lot of practice. But the problem with most criticism is that there is usually very little help. There is usually very little encouragement for the one who is being criticized. So understand, there are some things about criticism as we look at it in light of this text. So let's look at it. Criticism is wrong. All right? Now I'm talking about critical attitudes. To avoid putting yourself on a guilt trip, you need to be sure that you have the definition of criticism clearly in your mind. There is constructive and there is destructive. We are not guilty of having a critical attitude because we said something negative about another person. But listen to me. We have to then ask ourselves some questions. And that question is this a pattern with us? Is our criticism about something that is really wrong, or just what we think is wrong? Y'all with me? Are we fixated on this fault, or are we always talking about it? Now let me tell you why a critical attitude is simply wrong. There are three reasons. Number one, it's wrong because it hurts our relationship with God. Look at verse 11. Drop down to verse 11.
And Aaron said unto Moses, At last, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have, watch this, we have done foolishly, and wherein, here it is, we have sinned. Y'all see that? And so what did Aaron say that he and Miriam did? They had sinned. It wasn't a slip of a tongue. It wasn't a mistake. But understand, it was sin. It was a willful disobedience to God. I have never met a person with a critical attitude that I found to have a close, intimate relationship with God. Well, why is that? How can you? You don't have time to think about God and His goodness because you are fixated on this person and what you perceive to be all of their faults. We don't look at our faults, but we see other folk's faults. Well, what did Paul has to say, to think about? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Are y'all still on the line? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, he said, Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did he tell us to do? Think on these things. So he tells us to think. So number one, church, is wrong because it hurts our relationship with God. The second reason is wrong because it hurts us. It hurts us. Everything that God has ever said that we should not do has always been so that it will not end up hurting ourselves. Everything that God has told us in His Word is there to help us and not to hurt us. And so God asks us to choose life and not death. And criticism is deadly. The third reason, not only does it hurt our relationship with God, not only does it hurt us, but it's wrong because it hurts our relationship with others. See, how many of you like to be around critical people? Okay? You always seem to walk away from these people drained and in despair. Well, why is that? Because we want to be around people that's going to lift us up, that's going to help us to make heaven our home. Am I right? And so we got to understand, it's wrong because it can hurt your relationship with other people. So criticism is wrong. Secondly, criticism focuses on the petty. Look at verse 1. Let's go back. Y'all, it's right here in the text. Look at verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Now, do you understand this connection? This was brother and sister. Miriam and Aaron spoke against their little brother. Because, why? Here it is. Of the Ethiopian woman whom he married. Now, let me stop here. If you know your Bible history, you know that when Moses fled to Midian, he married a woman by the name of Zipporah. That's over there in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21. And it seems from which most scholars glean that Zipporah had passed away. But the scripture does not say what had happened to her. You don't read anything else about Zipporah after chapter 18 of Exodus and verse 2. And so what we find now is that Moses marries another woman. Right here in Numbers chapter 12. All right? And verse number one. And so this woman was a Cushite. All right? Which means she was a descendant of Ham, who was one of Noah's son. Y'all remember that? All right? According to the law that God had given Moses, she would have been a perfectly fine woman to marry. Why? Because she was a Cushite. Now understand, the Israelites were only instructed not to marry the Canaanite women. And so, which they later did, and they got in trouble for doing it. So, here is the question. The question is, why were Miriam and Aaron so upset over Moses marrying this woman? When you look a little closer, what you're going to find is that it really wasn't this woman at all who was the problem. Because look at what Miriam and Aaron said in verse 2. Here it is. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Ain't got nothing to do with the woman. But then also they said, "Hath he not spoken also by us?" Y'all see that? Have you ever noticed that so many times the criticisms that are leveled at us are only on the surface, they are very petty issues. They are issues of little consequences. Moses marrying this woman would have been a little consequence to Miriam and Aaron. What we do seem to find out is that behind most petty criticisms is much deeper heart issues. Oftentimes, people will use criticism to cover personal failures. They will use it to cover unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. And so as we see in this particular instance, when we look at it, what the real issue for Miriam and Aaron was that they didn't think they were getting all the attention that they should have. That was the issue. It wasn't about this woman. It was about them. They weren't getting the attention that they thought that they should have gotten. Now remember now, Miriam and Aaron were Moses' older siblings. Let that sink in. Moses is in a tremendous place of leadership. And they are just the associates. And so Miriam probably thought, it's not in here, but I'm just thinking how we sometimes think. Miriam was probably thinking, hey, if it wasn't for me, Moses wouldn't even be alive. I was the one who was there when Pharaoh's daughter plucked him out of the river. I was the one who got him taken to a mother so that she could care for him. And then there is Aaron. And Aaron probably was thinking something like this. Why is Moses getting all the press? I'm the one who is doing all the talking. It was Moses himself who said he wasn't capable of handling this leadership role. Why should he be the one making all the decisions? Y'all see this? And so if you find yourself being critical of others, you might want to ask yourself, why is this? Are your criticisms valid, or are they merely a cover for a deeper issue in your heart? Why do some leave congregations? Is it a valid reason, or is it a petty issue? Or is it much larger issues that's going on in their lives, and the facts are they didn't want those things exposed? So they left. Listen, criticism is dangerous. Criticism falsely inflates ourselves. What do you mean? Oswald Chambers said this: beware of anything that puts you in the place of the superior person. What criticism tries to do is get the focus off of me and my faults and onto you and your faults. That's what it does. What criticism literally say is, I am superior to you. You are down here, but I am up here. Now, what I feel I need to do is, again, to caution against false guilt. What do you mean? We are not being critical when we say something negative about something that is really wrong. Are y'all with me? I'm well aware that I have faults. But guess what? You ought to be aware you got some faults. All of us have to be aware of we all have faults. But here's the question. Do you spend your time dwelling on somebody else's faults? Do you have roast preacher, roast leaders, roast members for lunch on Sunday? Y'all with me? I'm just telling you like it is. You might laugh, but sadly, this is frequently happening in our congregation. And the question comes, is God pleased with that? Notice in verse 2, when Aaron and Miriam was complaining, the Bible said the Lord heard it. You better be aware that what you are talking about, the Lord can hear. And that's who we got to answer to one day. All right? Criticism, y'all, is painful. Sometimes, maybe oftentimes, we are guilty of having critter attitudes and we are hurting the one closest to us. This is what Miriam and Aaron did. They were hurting the very one that was close to them. And that was their brother. Y'all see that? Moses was their little brother. He was family. And yet they chose to try and cut down their own kin. I got news for you. Sometime your family will turn against you. Your family would cut you down. The very one you think that are close to you will cut you down. And we see that. We see that in the text. It is happening this way in congregations. These relationships that ought to be protected, cherished more than any others, are often the ones that are taken advantage of the most. Aren't we told by Jesus to love each other as we love ourselves? Is that what the Bible says? But the question is, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Let me move on. I got to hurry. Criticism will also render good people ineffective. People who have gifts, people who have talents that have the potential to accomplish great things for God are often rendered ineffective because of criticism. I don't know why it is, but I know as well as you do that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Y'all missed that, didn't you? The squeaky wheel always gets the grease. Well, what is that terminology talking about? The fact is that this person who is guilty of having critical attitudes is someone that really doesn't deserve our time, that doesn't deserve our attention, but we know, don't we, that they usually get more of our time. They usually get more of our attention than the one who praises us and the one who encourages us. There are many congregations that have been rendered ineffective, and I believe that many times it's happened because of criticism. Let me drop this, y'all, because it's a fact. Ministers are leaving the ministry these days in alarming numbers. There is so many congregations out there that doesn't have men. And why is that? I can tell you why that many are leaving. I've talked to a lot of them. They are my friends. I spoke to them. And the reason they are leaving is because critical attitudes. It's not because someone once in a while had criticism to offer. It's because ministers are bombarded with criticism, and it seemed that there was nothing that they could do that was right. So they say, why should I? I might as well. And it's a sad situation, church, that we have to understand. We have to be careful how we criticize, because it can either help us or it can hurt us. Criticism can sometimes be just a stumble. Look at verse 11 again. Look at verse 11. Again, Moses and Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Sometimes a critical attitude can be a stumble and not a sign that a person has gone totally downhill. What do you mean? Excuse me. I stumble and I fall sometimes. but it doesn't mean that I no longer know how to walk. Are y'all with me? It no longer means that I got to go out and buy a wheelchair. No, what it means is that I just need to be more careful that I don't stumble again. What it means is that maybe I just need to pick my feet up instead of dragging it. Y'all understand? And so finally, criticism will stop the flow of God's blessings. God wants to do so many things for us, but he is hindered. He is limited because we are choosing not to do what will release those blessings. If we choose to keep critical attitudes, then we are choosing to cut off the flow of God's blessings in our lives. I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen over and over again, where people get upset. They leave the church. They move to another one, and they think it is a better one. But when they get in there, they find out the same thing they left from is the same thing that they have. Y'all listen, we got to understand the problem with many of these people is that they never dealt with that heart issue that I've spoken of. They thought that a change of scenery would change their attitudes, but it didn't. I've witnessed congregations where ministers have had a nervous breakdown because of all the complaining and critical attitudes that fill those congregations. No matter, listen, no matter where you go, no matter where you go, there you are. Let this soak in. No matter where you go, there you are. Y'all still ain't got it. No matter where you are, or where you go, there you are. In other words, if I go somewhere else, guess what? There you are. Sometimes we wonder what's wrong with congregation. Listen, maybe you need to stop and look in the mirror and ask, what's wrong with me? Am I the problem? And if I am, I need to make what's right. Because listen, God can hear. The Lord can hear. And one day we got to stand. We're going to have to answer to Almighty God. What's the application? All of us need to understand that criticism will come to us. We all got to know that. I don't care where you go. Criticism will come to us. The fact is that there are some criticism that we need. And the criticism that we need is that we need to be listening to those things that will help us, to improve us, to make us be what God would have us to be. That's the criticism that we need. But then also there is negative criticism that we listen to that will hurt us, that we listen to very long, that we become critical. We don't need that type of criticism. And I'm here to tell you the best way to deflect criticism is to hand it over to God. Because God is the one that knows how to deal with it. God is the one that can handle whatever you're going through. And so the lesson to you is this. Ask God. Ask God to help us be that person that we use our tongue to help somebody and not to hurt somebody. If you're here this morning, You look within your life. If the Lord was to come right now and tell you time on this earth would be no more with you, would you hear him say, well done? Or would you hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Every one of us in this room is making a decision right now. You're making a decision where you want to spend eternity. You know within your life, but I got news for you. God knows your life. And at the end, that's who you're going to have to answer to. You've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be right. Don't let other folk hinder you from knowing what you need to do is the right thing to do. And that is to obey God. That is to go down that watery grave of baptism. When you come by that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're here in a Christian, not living as a Christian should, you know your relationship with God. Now is the time to make it right with him. This may be the last time you have upon the face of this earth. One day, you either confess him now, you either obey him now, but one day you're going to obey him. One day you're going to confess him that Jesus is Lord. It's going to be too late then. The only time that you have to get it right is right now. Don't put it off. Don't worry about what other folk think. You worry about what God is going to think when you stand before him, unprepared to meet him. Come right now. We stand and sing the song of invitation, won't you come?
Oh, happy day that fits my choice. I see my Savior and my God. Well, may this low, we heart rejoice and tell his wrath. Church all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus walks my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoiced, sing every day. Happy day, every day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Oh, happy month that seals my vows to him who bears with all my love. Let cheerful anthems fill his house while to that day praise God, I move. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. 'Tis not the grave transaction done, I am my Lord, and he is mine. He drew me in, I followed on, charmed to confess the voice divine. Happy day,
When Jesus was